Thank you. This is David Lewis, and this is the Institute of Biblical Eschatology. We are reading today from the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, verse 7. This is talking about the rise of the man of sin, the son of perdition, referred to in verse 3. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, or restraineth will restrain, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. I would like to call your particular attention to the phrase in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The New American Standard Translation and the New International Version update the terminology. The NIV has it, for the secret power of lawlessness. A free translation would be, the conspiracy of anarchy doth already work. It is true that Satan is the enemy of order. He is the author of chaos and confusion. Thus it is interesting that the Antichrist is characterized as the one who is preceded by the conspiracy of anarchy, the secret power of lawlessness, the mystery of iniquity. There has been a lot of talk in the last couple of years on the subject of the Illuminati. Did it really exist? Is this only a fantasy? Was there once and is there still a world conspiracy? Men who would like to take over and rule the world? Well, let us not be naive. We know that there has never been a time when men of ill will did not conspire to rule over their fellow men. In this day of instant worldwide communication, in this day of global community, would it not be rather surprising if there were not those who conspired to rule over the whole world? After all, the Antichrist is not going to merely fall out of the sky. He will find a world and an organization ready to put him in power when he comes upon the scene, when the restraining force is removed from the world. The Illuminati was founded over 2 centuries ago. The great conspiracy, however, was in motion before the foundations of the earth were laid. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm saying that apart from any worldly organization, there is a conspiracy of hell directed against God and his followers. Only the serious student of biblical prophecy can make any sense out of the conspiracy concept. The great conspirator is not a man, it is Satan. As Christians, our warfare is not against men and institutions, but against spiritual forces that guide men of ill will. There is no passage in the New Testament which instructs Christians to attack political groups. There is no passage that forbids political involvement and even criticism of the political structure. In other words, political involvement in the world system is permissible, but it is not mandatory. We are, however, commanded to battle against the powers of darkness. Victory in that realm will affect results in the physical world, including the political sphere. So you may or may not decide to get involved in political causes. I think you simply have to seek God to find your place in this particular realm. But you really don't have a choice as to whether you're going to be involved in the spiritual warfare, for we're commanded by God to wrestle against the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Many astute observers claim that there is a validity for the world conspiracy for world government concept, that there actually is a conspiracy to establish a world government, and that that conspiratorial group already exists in the world. In fact, writers from the entire political spectrum, from the extreme left to the extreme right, embrace some kind of conspiracy theory. There are diverse groups that agree on only one thing: somebody is conspiring to rule the world. The conspiracy has been identified variously as communism, the Illuminati, neo-Nazism, the Mafia, the Rothschilds, the international bankers, the Masons, the Catholics, Russian fundamentalist Christians, the Council on Foreign Affairs, the Rockefellers, the Trilateral Commission, occultism, Zionism, the Bilderbergers, Satanists, and so forth and so forth. Some take the position that all of these are interconnected, highly organized, and controlled by one mastermind, a political genius. However, I think that when we're speaking of the conspiracy, it is good to know which conspiracy theory one is talking about. And we're going to consider some of these theories, and then we're going to discover what the Bible has to say on the subject, and that's what will really bring understanding to us. To see all of this world's evils under one human control seems like giving the devil more than his due. Satan's followers are rebels, and they don't even always obey him. Even the Antichrist will have periodic uprisings against him during the tribulation, and that's a time when Satan has domination of the world. The Antichrist will be a man indwelt by Satan. On the other hand, it is a biblical and logical concept to see a super genius, the devil, working behind the scenes, frantically trying to control and manipulate world events to bring his diabolical purposes to pass. Some conspiracy theories tend to be rather incredible, unbelievable. In 1959, Dr. Emanuel M. Josephson wrote of the secret condition of the Soviet Union. He advanced the theory that communist rulers in Russia were not the atheists that they seemed to be. In fact, they are deeply dedicated Christians. Well, that's a twist, isn't it? Emanuel Josephson, in his book, The Unheeded Teachings of Jesus, wrote, "Contrary to popular belief, the present rulers of Soviet Russia are deeply religious. They are singularly dedicated Christians. Indeed, they regard themselves as the only real Christians. Soviet Russia is dominated today by the fundamentalist Christian sect that is known as the Skoptsi, S-K-O-P-T-S-I." End of quotation. According to Dr. Josephson, the Communist Party is a fundamentalist Christian plot to take over the world. Adam Weishaupt was the founder of the Illuminati, the Enlightened Ones. He was born in Ingolstadt in 1748. He was raised by Jesuits, whom he later denounced. At the age of 15, he went to the University of Ingolstadt, a Roman Catholic school, and there he studied law, philosophy, politics, and history. In his spare time, he delved into French subversive literature. When Weishaupt reached the age of 24, he was appointed to a chair of jurisprudence in the university. A year later, the Jesuits were suppressed, and Weishaupt was appointed to the chair of canon law, which had always previously been the domain of the Jesuits. He decided to start a secret society for the perfection of humanity. It was first called the Perfectibilists. In 1776, on May 1st, Adam Weishaupt founded the Illuminati, an organization which many people believe still exists and has powerful influence in the world. Basilia Schlenk, founder of the Evangelical Sisterhood of Mary, traces the rise of the Illuminati and sees it expressed today in Satanism. I would like to quote her words, quote, "On May 1, 1776, Adam Weishaupt, a professor of canon law, founded the Order of the Illuminati in Ingolstadt, Bavaria. 5 years before that, he was initiated into alchemy and witchcraft, and under the cover of the Freemason Lodge in Munich, he carried out occult practices. However, the Order of the Illuminati that was established as an atheistic institution not only practiced occultism and Satanism, but also pursued political goals. The members of his order were, for example, Voltaire, Mirabeau, and Robespierre. In France, the most fanatical group of Freemasons, the Jacobins, joined the Illuminati. They were the instigators of the gruesome French Revolution, which ended in the bloodbath of Christians. Nowadays, Weishaupt's secret objective is being openly proclaimed in Satanism, the overthrow of the government by revolutions and chaos. Communism has the same goal because both communism and Satanism are fed by the same sources of inspiration. Hatred of Christ and Christians." End of quotation. This is taken from a tabloid, The Eve of Persecution, by M. Basilia Schlenk. In her book, The Return of the Puritans, Pat Brooks carefully documents the history of the Illuminati. This book should be read by the serious Christian who wishes to examine the conspiracy concept more carefully. Indeed, one of the great values of Pat Brooks' work is that it does not lead one to a feeling of despair. The book outlines a program of prayer, good works, and involvement. It offers this interesting observation, quote, "Hand-wringers who cringe in the shadows with their fears resemble a pregnant woman who spends her 9 months anticipating the brief labor pains rather than the new life to come. It is simply not normal for an expectant mother to do this. Neither is it normal for the bride of Christ awaiting the wedding with her glorious bridegroom to be biting her fingernails at what may happen first." End of quotation. Another important book on this subject is To Eliminate the Opiate by Rabbi Marvin S. Antelman, published in New York by Zahavia Limited in 1974. Rabbi Antelman also proceeds to outline the existence and the history of the Illuminati. He claims that it has a present-day existence. Now, one of the reasons why we're talking about this is because a young man by the name of John Todd has preached some very strange doctrines all over the United States of America, and he has attacked institutions and churches and individuals. He has said, for example, that the Assemblies of God has been completely taken over by the Illuminati. He said this, and I am now quoting the words of John Todd from a tape that is distributed by Second Coming Incorporated, quote, "One denomination has been completely taken over by the Illuminati at their headquarters. It's the only one we know. The church is so different from what it was 20 years ago, you don't even recognize it, and that's the Assemblies of God. I've talked with hundreds of assembly pastors, and they're so mad they can't see straight." End of quotation. Well, Mr. Todd, I'm sorry, but you're wrong, and tomorrow we're going to go into more of this fascinating subject. Until then, goodbye. This is your Bible teacher, David Lewis, saying God bless you richly.